Hey, so just by show of hands, how many of you really have been taking time to read through Proverbs a little bit with us? That's cool. Five of us. Good job. Today, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to give just a little bit of kind of, I guess, insight, opinion, whatever it is you guys would think of when I talk. And then I'm going to ask you guys to read. You probably sat on this. I love it. There's so many handouts out here, and it's Proverbs 17. Now, I'm just recommending that. You don't need to read that. There's 5, there's 23, there's 27, there's 31 of them that you could read. We're not going to put them up on the screen because that would be a little challenging. We want to give you a chance to read through the Bible. But we can't read the whole Bible, so we thought, all right, let's pick a proverb. So I picked 17. You can go for whichever one you'd like. You have Bible underneath a chair in front of you if you didn't bring one, or maybe you got a good old-fashioned Bible that you brought, the one that you love and that you've worn out, or you have it on your phone. Either way, you can choose a ton of them, or you can pick one of these, and it's yours. I ghettoed out on the pencils and pens. Some of them work and some of them don't. If you don't have one, there might be a man or a woman next to you with a satchel or a man purse or a purse that has, I don't know, 15 pens in it somehow, and there's just like collecting in there. If you don't have a pen, ask somebody with a bag, perhaps. I have some up here. I have 2 right here in my folder, and we're going to get it. So you'll see true wisdom, insights from the book of Proverbs. God is truly wise. Yeah, good luck, Jackie. Some of them actually work. We need wisdom, all of us. We need it because we're human beings. We need it because we're not always wise. We need it because God's God and we're not. And he was willing to give us his word, willing to give us his son, willing to give us life. He wants us to have a good life. So will you join me this morning as we dig into Proverbs? Now look, last week we talked about fear and humility and humble fear, where you wouldn't be petrified of God, but you would be humbly aware that he's God and you need him and we need him and he gives us life, right? And he gives us a way to live that life and he's not ashamed or afraid to come at us. And we ought to actually not be ashamed or afraid to come to him. We should actually be humble in our respect and our reverence and say, God, I need you. I need you to coach me up. I need you to show me life. And he is very, very clear to do that through 66 different books, but in particular, we're looking at Proverbs. And so just a few Proverbs jumped out to me when I was thinking about this fear and humility, and then one just was straight up in my face, so I thought I'd share it with you. These are the ones that stood out. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to be wise, revere, be humble, recognize, fear God. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. You want insight into life, honor God. How many of you heard the song and sang it maybe even this morning where he's never gonna let us down? Did you guys remember those lyrics? Anybody besides me go, well, maybe a couple times he might have let me down. And sometimes it's like legit pain and agony in our lives, right? Whether it be people mistreating us, whether it be being leapt over for a promotion or even just recognition. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a parent that abandoned you. And you're like, hey, God, that's a letdown. And we think since God's ultimately in charge, he let us down. Now, he gave us free will, and we have a hard time recognizing that free will can lead to really jacked up stuff. But if God really loved us and didn't let us down, he could overcome free will. Really? You think God wants a bunch of robots? You think God wants us just to follow him because we have to? Now, sometimes we're going to do that move, and I honor that we just go, this doesn't feel right, but I'm going to do it. But I want to let you know, he wants us to follow him. So there's some fresh insight, knowledge of the Holy One, that God, perfect. Remember the fair thing that I brought up in the very beginning of our time? That helps me to understand that God actually is good. And at the ultimate level, he truly never lets us down. So that led me to Proverbs 15:33. Fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Sometimes the difficult things in our lives are preparing us for something greater, a preparation. You guys have heard me say over and over again that manure is fertilizer. I didn't come up with that. God designed that. Went to the fair, and there's this really cool little readout. Poop makes stuff grow. I'm serious. I have friends that make t-shirts. I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a t-shirt going that's got that poop emoji and then equals and then a flower. I'm so close. So close to that. But we don't always believe that. And so we strike out on our own and we want to take care of matters our own way because, you know, after all, I'm the only one I can rely on, which is a recipe for disaster. But we don't really think that. And so God is gracious enough to give us proverbs like this. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. You ever wonder if God could just muddy the waters a little bit? could you maybe make that a little more challenging to understand? Hating reproof, hating correction, rebuke, being reminded that you don't have it all together and God wants to correct you, and we hate that. That's just stupid. And you don't have to raise your hands, but boy, I've been stupid. When I grew up, you guys, some of you know this, some of you don't. I grew up with a lot of different people. And one of my friends, Rafael, he said, man, that's SOS. I was like, save our souls? No, man, that's stuck on stupid. And I was SOS a ton. I'd love to tell you that I'm still, you know, not SOS, but there's times where I'm stuck on stupid and I'm not sure about the correction that God has for me because it doesn't feel comfortable, feels like a letdown. You're going to come at me, God, when they did that? You want me to change? You want me to forgive? You want me to be the bigger person? That's tough. I'm 5'8 on a good day. You want me to be bigger? You want me to be kinder? You want me to be gentler? Oh, wow. If my daughter is here, she'd correct me. You want me to be more gentle? Gentler. We have this kinder, gentler. I don't think that's an actual word, but I want to ask you to consider this morning what it means to actually live out wisdom. Apply it. Wisdom is living life skillfully in the fear of the Lord, recognizing God as God, fearing him, giving him respect. I want to give you a couple things to remember as we're about to read through a proverb. And it could be whichever one you want. Like I said, 17 is printed out for you right there. Remember humble fear as you read and apply proverbs. It's so crazy how quickly our minds can actually take humility and turn it into pride. You know, we seriously have like an abbreviation. In my humble opinion, IMHO. Hey, guess what? When you point out your humble opinion, it's no longer humble. Well, in my humble opinion, I'm so humble, just ask me, I'll tell you, right? It's like, stop, stop. Just allow yourself. Well, this is what I think. This is my opinion. Ooh, my humble opinion. Too late. So be humble. Don't focus in on yourself. If you're getting a chance to apply something, let it be to the glory of God and the benefit of others. And dear friend, you will benefit from that. You will. And so I also have a few helpful reminders for, I think, is what I put on here, to help you understand and apply Proverbs. So very quickly, if you're a note taker, here we go. I'll just lay these out for you really quick. Number one, pray. Pray before you read the word. Pray before you try to apply it. Pray. I don't know if you've ever noticed, and we just looked at a whole book of Jesus' life in Matthew, and it's not this autobiography, and it's not a biography. It's actually witness account of who he was and what he did. He prayed before anything major happened. He connected with his daddy, showing us how to get it done. Like, talk to God, connect with God. And so pray. Pray to the one who wrote the book. Ask him to help you understand it. And so pray. Number two, I want you to know that Proverbs are actually probabilities. Okay, this is probably going to happen. For example, fearing God and living wisely tends to lead to things going well. But back to the, I feel like God let me down or things aren't fair, that doesn't always work. Have you lived wisely and things have actually fallen apart in your life? Anybody? You ready to make good choices and still bad stuff happens? We live in a fallen world. And like the converse, right? No fear of God generally means no lasting good. But there's some filthy rich, nothing seems to go wrong for you dirty people in this world.
Drunk on evil.
Say that again?
Drunk on evil.
Oh, they're drunk on evil. And there's plenty more where that came from. Right? I mean, this is just genuine. But it's probable the things in Proverbs actually can help and do help, but they don't always lead to what you would think. And so that leads me to the third thing to remember when we're reading through Proverbs. Proverbs do not mean promises, formulas, or recipes for a great life now and always, no matter what Joel Osteen has told you. And Joel Osteen, good dude, I hope that he continues to make much of Jesus. There's times when there's some really good teaching, but we've heard over and over again, all you got to do is sprinkle a little J-E-S-U-S on it and everything is better. It's always going to be good. You're going to get gold. That truck will run. It's the country song played backwards. Yay. You know, you get your girl back and your dog back. Okay, anyway, so here's the thing. We have Proverbs like this one that make us go, yeah, God, what's up? Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short, unless it's not, because sometimes it isn't. But the fear of the Lord actually leads you to the humility of recognizing that he's God and you're not, and you get to humbly submit to him, and you recognize that he's forever, and you get to be forever, so life will not just be prolonged, it'll be forever. We just think sometimes in this world, it should be better than it is. So God, maybe your Proverbs are a little stinky sometimes. No, they're not. We just live in a fallen world where there's not a bunch of robots. This one's been quoted so many times by so many people, and it's good. But Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he won't depart from it. And we cling to it and we pray, and sometimes it comes true, but have you sat with somebody at a cemetery and they're not sure where their beloved child is for eternity? Because they weren't sure what happened to this proverb. They knew Jesus. We love Jesus in this family. And they got into the bottle. They got into drugs. They got into the love of money, and they did horrendous things, and that's actually how they died. This isn't a recipe. This isn't a formula. This is God's wisdom, and you can live it out. But a lot of times we turn it into religious duty. We turn it into a contractual relationship with God. I did the good. You hook me up. And when that doesn't happen, we're very frustrated. Please remember, these are not promises, formulas, or recipes for a great life now. And finally, Proverbs focus on the general rule, not the exceptions. You always find an exception if you want to. Yeah, but. My mom used to say, no, yeah, but. I'm like, what? She goes, you always say, yeah, but. Like, you have this argument. You should be a lawyer. Never mind that I actually learned that somewhere. Anyways, quickly, I suggest these three. You can do whatever you want. Proverbs 5, 17, or 23. These are really, really wonderful, great opportunity. I want you to pray, like we talked about. I'd love for you to read through whatever proverb you're going to read through it once, and then read it again. Look for a phrase, look for a word, look for something that stands out to you. It may stand out because it makes a lot of sense. It may stand out because it's hard. You can underline it. Look, I know you may have not brought your Bible today and you're not sure about this flimsy piece of paper, but you want one of these? Go ahead, underline it. Whoever gets this next time are like, ooh, the answers are in the book. Yeah, they are, actually. And that's fine. We want you to write in the Bible. Write down notes. But this paper also works for you. And then after you read it once, twice, underline some things, circle some things that stand out. I like to encourage you to ask two questions, okay? Maybe. Here they are. What can I learn from this? Remember, we're praying and asking God for insight already. What can I learn from this? And where can I apply what I'm learning? How am I going to do this? Then I want you to write down what God has told you or type it in your phone. Put it as your wallpaper in there. And then as Jesus said, I want to encourage you to go and do likewise. Go live it out. So you have about 10 minutes. I'm going to give you a chance to read through this. There's a lot to it. I'll read one time while you guys are picking it out. One that really stood out to me. It's Proverbs 27. I love 17. 17 changed my life a long, long time ago, and it continues to come back to me, but I'll read 27 for you, and I'm just going to read it once. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. Stone is heavy, and sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse or many are the kisses of an enemy. One who's full loathes honey, but to one who's hungry, everything bitter is sweet. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home, and on it goes. So much applicable in there. You ever wonder about somebody who choose a really toxic relationship and you're wondering why he or she will do that? They're starving. So even though it's bitter, it tastes sweet to them for a time. We need to be filled up on Jesus. Would you take time, pray, and read through this? Some of you are going to go, we don't need 10 minutes. We need like 5. That's all right. Some of you are like, we don't need 10, we need 20. Well, we blew that a while ago, so enjoy. Okay, so one more minute here. Then I want to ask you to consider maybe sharing one or two things, either with people around you or even out loud, or go to breakfast or lunch or brunch. Do we still do brunch? We only do that on Easter? No. Take time to not keep this to yourself. Okay, who's still like, man, I need more time? Anybody? Good. God gave us 24 hours. You have all kinds of time if you make it. Look for it. Anybody get anything out of this that they'd like to share? And it's not like, look how smart I am. Look at what God did for me. I'd love for us to share that with each other. My friend Edwin Deppner is here, and he understands the power of story. Let's share really quick in our own story anything that stands out to you. Yeah, Michelle.
And the teacher starting the new year, to remember not to crush the bones of my students.
Being joyful. That's good, Michelle. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else?
I just like this one. 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with
him. Amen. That isn't always the recipe, but it is a good thing. You have people like try to mock you and try to curse you and try to be frustrated with you for being a good person. They end up just like, man, that was dumb. Anybody else?
At the end of Proverbs 23, 17 and 18, it's talking about how for 70 years they're going to forget the city of Tyre and he's going to ignore them. But then after 70 years, God's going to come back and he's going to make them his messenger and kind of send all of his goods out from their city. And I think it's kind of talking about the fact that like sometimes it seems like to us he's forgotten about us, but he's just building us into stronger messengers.
That's good, Amanda. That's really strong. God hasn't forgotten about you. He's developing something in you. 2 Corinthians 1 says he's a God of all comfort and he comforts others in their time of need with the comfort we received in our time of need. We're not going through what we're going through just for us, and God actually is working something in us. Anybody else before we get going? Oh, that's so good. Did you guys catch that? We mock God when we're mocking the poor. When we are joyful at calamity, we have often in our hearts, we just say, well, they deserve that. You don't know their story. You don't know what's gone on. Sometimes it makes perfect sense to us, but there's more to it. More to it. Anybody else? Please take time to do this. If you don't get after it daily, at least weekly, would you take time? You can read the whole word like this. You can read the same passage over and over again and get something fresh from it. Long time ago, I worked for a company that had really a lot of success. And I was moving my way up in that company. And Kathy and I were trying to get pregnant and it wasn't working. And we thought some of it was probably consequences of decisions we made before we were married, before we knew Jesus. And then she gets pregnant and we come to find out that when he was born, it was Zach, but it took us almost 3 years in marriage to have this baby. And when we were getting closer to the due date, I'd asked my boss for 2 days off, the day my child was born and then the next day. And he's like, yeah, no problem. Long story short, Zach is born November 3rd, 1992 at 8 a.m. So that day of work's gone, right? That night I got a phone call from my boss congratulating me, but it was like 10 o'clock at night, and then saying, hey, I'm not sure where you got in your mind that you were getting 2 days off, but we're going to need you to come in. I'm like, what? And he's like, no, seriously. And I just remember thinking, I'm going to have to quit my job. Except I have a brand new baby. I'm 2 children total. I'm 22 years old. How am I going to do this? And so Kathy and I are frustrated. I'm talking to her about this while my boss is on the phone. That was intentional. I wanted him to hear the strife that he was creating. And I'm like, you promised me I could have it. He goes, well, but I talked to the owner, and he didn't understand why you thought you'd get time off. And I just remember thinking all kinds of things, and I said a few of them. But ultimately, I just said, maybe I'll see you tomorrow, maybe I won't. He goes, so are you coming in? I'm like, I don't know. It'll be a game time decision. And so I went into work early. I was a route driver for an office coffee service, and so I was really nice to all my customers, but I was really fast. First time ever, probably. But I just went, vroom. I did two routes in one day. I came back and put all my paperwork on my boss's desk because I was a bit late, and he waited around for me, and he said, how are you going to be able to show Jesus to the owner with this attitude? I said, you know what? I came in when I wasn't supposed to. I did 2 days worth of work. There's your grace. I got to get going. And then somehow I stumbled upon this. Proverbs 17:27-28. Whoever restrains his word has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Listen. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. I'm still learning how to live that one out. But I actually, for the first time, this was the Holy Spirit's work in me, and it was confirmed in his word. I was able to just not dump the truck on this dude that I really felt deserved it. And he was a church planter, and his church plan had failed and all this kind of stuff. And he was a bit embittered with God, and I really wanted to let him have it. And yet I just found myself having this supernatural, cool spirit. And it really was supernatural. It was God. I've had plenty of times where I've blown it for much, much less. You guys, God does not want us to just dangle out there and suffer. He wants us to live well and help others to live well. Later on, I was looking for a new job because I was super angry about this. And I got this offer from another company, and it was probably about $5 an hour more, but the company was like kind of a mess, but it was more money. And God brought me back to Proverbs 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. You can get all kinds of stuff and have chaos. Or you could eat crust and be at peace. Brothers and sisters, this actually, a ton of it is up to us. Do we want that? I had had peace. I knew the problems at this place. A lot was going on there. The big boss found out I was looking for a job, and he called me in. He goes, What's going on? And I explained to him just how hurt I was and how they did me wrong. And he's like, well, you know, we've never had a man ask for time off when a wife had a baby. He said, you're basically kind of a sacrificial lamb. And that one just kind of grated on me because I'm like, that's a title for Jesus. Don't get at me like that. But I had to slow down and listen. And he was like, we're trying to figure out how to do business in today's culture. And you're actually helping us. I don't want you to go. What would it take for me to keep you? And I was like, I think some stuff has to change. I didn't know the word systemic at that time. So I said, you know, this corporate-wide, we have some things that need to change. Well, help us understand that. And he said, I want you to stay. And if I give you a $3 an hour raise, would that help? I'm like, yeah, probably a little bit. I stayed, and some really cool things happened, and I was able to be part of some change in there. And got, like, my dream job came to me in 1996. I was asked to be the youth pastor of a brand new church that was getting ready to start in Monroe called Cascade Community Church. And I was working that job, which was basically a full-time job, and then working in downtown Seattle at the coffee service. And so my family didn't see me a ton. And 6 months into what was happening at Cascade, it was exploding. And we went from six kids that met in our downstairs as a youth group to like 40 in about 6 months. It was just nuts what the Lord was doing. And they said, Nate Hedinga and Dave Weed, who were the other pastors, said, hey, look, I think it's time to hire you. It's scary. We don't know how it's all going to work out, but we think it's time for full time. And I was like, let's do this. And so I went to my boss and said, hey, Joe, it's time for me to move on. And he goes, this isn't all the way back to the other stuff, is it? I'm like, oh, no, that's over. I've really enjoyed being here, and they have me kind of on this fast track to being a manager and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, there's nothing I could offer you that would make you stay. I'm like, you're competing with a dream job and a call on my life. You could give me $100,000 and I wouldn't take it. Unless, are you thinking about $100,000? No, I didn't. So he's like, so there's a number, right? No. Not at all. I just said, really, there's nothing you could do. This is my dream job. I get to be a full-time pastor. I get to tell people about Jesus. I don't have to be quiet about it. I don't have to be sneaky. I don't have to look around. And he just said, Aaron, I've wanted to be part of what's good in your life since I met you. He's like, God bless you. He said, I'm really proud of you. And I was able to leave. Look, fellas. Look, ladies. Look, kids. I'm not telling you that. Well, you read Proverbs and all your dreams come true like a Disney flick. But what I am saying is this works. It's not 100% all the time everything goes, but I got perspective from an ancient book. And I still do to this very day. My best days aren't behind me. They're right now and ahead of me. Same for you. Read it and live it out. As Jesus said, go and do likewise. He's wise. He's wisdom. He's truth. He's life. If you didn't read a good one, find one. You'll probably come back another day and read it and go, wow, that's really good. That's some pretty powerful stuff. It might hit you again later. Father, I want to thank you for these men and women, these children. Thank you for your word. Would you have your way in us? Would we slow down, take 10, 15, 30 minutes, maybe 60, and just pray and read and ask and journal what it is that you're saying to us. It's so easy to get busy. It's so easy to want to sleep. It's so easy to read other things. Would you help us, Lord, to rejoice in the good? Would you help us to fear you, to honor you, to not always question you, but to know that even if we have questions, you're still good. God, thanks for today. Thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. Would you help us to not be men and women that go to our own answers, but we go to yours and we wait and we live according to your goodness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.